gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Thanks for the lift home, David.
You're welcome, Isabel. Next time I offer, I hope I have a lawyer with me.
Why?
All the arguments you gave me for not getting into my car.
Oh, it was nothing personal. I like to walk.
Yeah, so I gather.
A mile walk and a little deep breathing and you can solve almost any problem. Will you come in?
I've got to get back to the paper.
Oh, I am sorry.
I'll take a rain check, though.
Well, I mustn't keep you. David, you haven't heard from Kate, have you?
Why would I hear?
Darling boy, you know her better than I do.
I do?
You are the nicest and most exasperating young man I ever met, and that covers a lot of territory.
I'll bet.
Someday, some woman's going to get through that shell.
I told you I'd marry you whenever you'd have me.
Oh, go along. Well, I won't talk about Kate, because it just makes me unhappy. She's obviously still up on that wretched island.
If she is, she has a reason.
Oh, I wish you'd just for once get mad at something.
I did once, Isabel. And I lost everything I cared for. I'll see you to the door.
Oh, no thanks. I need the walk. David, dear. I'm sorry I probed.
You're the only one who could. I'll wait until you get in the house.
Oh, thanks for the lift. Bye. Jesse?
I'm right here, Miss Isabel.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I didn't see you.
Oh, well, I was just going to turn on one lamp in the living room.
I can't stand this gloom. Well, next week is Christmas, and we're going to have every light in this house on.
If those Arabs with their heads wrapped in a towel send us a free barrel of oil.
Well, you're right, of course.
Well, I may not be right, but I am Scottish.
Would you settle for candles?
That I would. Miss Isabel, what do you think? Kate called.
Kate? Where is she?
She's on her way home.
Oh, no. Jesse, how marvelous. She's coming here to Belhaven.
Well, that's what she said.
Where did she call from?
Well, she said she was driving down with her friend. She was about an hour away.
Oh, Jesse, I'll make up the guest room and put flowers in Kate's room. Oh, we don't have flowers. But I'll put that spider plant in. Oh, Jesse, why didn't you tell me?
Miss Isabel, it takes breath. You've hardly caught yours.
We'll give a dinner party Saturday night, and then we'll plan for Christmas. How did Kate sound?
Oh, she sounded fine. Sort of happy.
Oh, well, maybe all she needed was a rest. Let's see, we had 20 for Thanksgiving. But Christmas? Could you and I manage 30, maybe 35, Jesse?
We could manage the entire town of Belhaven if that's what would please you. But Kate always goes to her sister's for Christmas.
Oh, bother her sister.
And you'll go too, Miss Isabel. And I go with my friend Clara. That's the way it's always been.
Well, I won't do it. I want to give a party.
Oh, Lord love us. Those must have been the first words you ever said.
And they'll be my last. I'll answer it. Must be Kate.
Your umbrella, madam?
Oh, my word, David. I loathe umbrellas. I secretly resist them. Thank you. David, Kate's on her way home.
Hey, good.
Isn't it thrilling?
Sure.
David, aren't you going to get turned on about anything?
Yeah, you bet.
Well, will you come back and see her? She'll be here in less than an hour.
I have to be on a job at the paper tonight.
Oh. Well, will you call her and make her feel at home?
How'd you sound?
Well, Jesse said fine. Happy.
Good. I'll see you.
David.
Yep.
Am I just being a silly woman?
You are. But that's just what Belhaven needs. Night, Isabel.
finished your coffee, Trudy? We should probably be getting back on the road.
Yeah, almost. Oh, Kate, I'm sure glad you're going home.
Oh, I wish you'd stop over with me.
Now it's all settled. I'll leave you off and take the car down to the city. You know, I'd like to get home, too.
You've been heroic to come with me.
I'm not heroic. I'm just salt encrusted from all that seawater. Oh, boy, I bet you've made everybody in Bellhaven happy.
Oh, I just talked to Jessie, bless her heart. She expects me to stay. I just couldn't tell her I can't.
Well, it might be a good idea.
Well, I do want to see Isabel. I haven't even seen her since she got back from London, but then I have to go back to the city.
Well, you know best.
If I did, I wouldn't be in this mess now.
Oh, I wouldn't call it a mess.
It is. Something I never thought would happen to me.
To fall in love?
Trudy, I went up to Gull Island for one reason. To find out if there was any truth in what that dreadful man Stephen Wolfe told me. That Tom had been drug running all those months we were sailing in the Caribbean, and I found out it was true.
But it was long ago, Kate. It doesn't affect you.
But it does. I was there with Tom all the time. Stephen said I'd be considered part of it.
Oh, we couldn't prove that.
No, but he could make an awful lot of trouble for me. The scandal alone...
But if it isn't true...
But I'm not thinking of myself now.
Oh.
Oh, Trudy, it's all so different. I went up there one person and I came back another.
Yeah, I think you did.
It's so strange. I've known Tony all these months. When I discovered he was married and then when I met Claire, I... Well, I thought that was that. That was the end. I did everything I could to avoid him.
He's a little hard to avoid, Kate, if he doesn't want to be.
Even that made me mad. He's so sure of himself, so sure that he can manage everything. I just kept saying to myself, he can't manage me. I'll never see him again. And then I did.
Kate, when a man goes through what he did, just in the hope of a 10-minute talk with you, you can't just say, go jump in the lake.
Oh, Trudy, it was seeing him. I'd been thinking about the past, living in the past. And then when I heard that speedboat and looked out the window of the cottage and saw him standing there on the dock in the sun, my whole life just suddenly turned over.
And you look it.
Oh, I've been telling myself all day, like a record playing in my mind, I'm in love with Tony and he's married.
Honey, stop saying that. It isn't a marriage.
I'm not kidding myself about anything like that now. He's not free.
Well, what you'd better be telling yourself is that you're in love with Tony and he's in love with you. Well, that's happiness enough for one day.
It would be if it weren't for Stephen Wolfe.
Kate, he can't hurt you with a man like Tony.
But he can. I told Tony about the drugs, but not about Steve. I asked him how he would feel if I were involved.
Yeah?
Just for an instant, I saw the look on his face.
Oh, could you be imagining things, Kate?
I don't have to. Trudy, he's a man with a big career ahead of him. Now, just think, if anything like drug traffic touched him...
Well, then just deny everything Stephen Wolfe ever said.
But it isn't that easy. Stephen said Tom had left him a letter before he died. I found it, you remember, up at the cottage.
Yeah.
Trudy, I've opened it.
Well, I should hope so.
I want to show it to you. It says nothing, but everything.
Oh, boy, he wasn't writing very clear, was he?
Poor Tom. No, I'll read it. Dear Stephen, I owe you a lot. I told you about my business in Jamaica and what there was there for you. But the best thing I can do for you now is not to involve you in my mistakes. The information you want could only bring you where it has brought me. I ask one more favor. Protect Kate. She'll need it. I loved her. And I failed her. Thanks for standing by me. Tom. Tom wrote that, Trudy, the night before he died.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Roll-On, so economical yet so effective. Faces of Love has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by the Ocedor Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Dear personages listening to these words, good day and welcome to Vanity Fair, written by your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray. Now, where did we leave off yesterday? Oh, yes, of course. Becky Sharp and Miss Matilda Crawley are about to embark on a drive to Amelia Sedley's. And that, unfortunately, brings to mind Amelia's love, Lieutenant George Osborne. The observant listener who has marked George's behavior has doubtless come to a certain unhappy conclusion regarding his character. And I do. But let us have a little charity. Pray recall what George vowed only yesterday to his friend Dobbin.
I've been a cab to Amelia, yes I have. Glad you ragged me about this, Dob. I didn't realize. Make her happy, you said. I will. Word of honor. By Jove, I'll take her a present. Yes. No, quite out of cash. Quite a pity. I wanted to make Emmy smile.
Naturally, as George intended, Dobbin handed over the needed cash. So, while George shops on Fleet Street for a pretty bauble, a locket, say, to carry a lock of his hair, a cameo brooch, a garnet necklace, while he shops, let us go to Russell Square, where Amelia has been summoned outside to a waiting carriage containing Becky and Miss Crawley.
Emmy, dear, step inside and meet Miss Crawley. She's not well enough to leave her carriage.
Miss Crawley. Oh, Becky has told me lovely things of you.
Why, what a dear girl. Let's close the door.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, let me look at you, Miss Ellie. Why, what a complexion, my dear.
Thank you. You're very kind.
And what a sweet voice.
Oh, I knew you'd be pleased, Miss Crawley. There's no one like Emmy.
Oh, Becky, do stop.
Can't you both come in for tea? Mama and I would be so pleased.
Oh, I can't allow it. This is Miss Crawley's first outing. We want you to drive with us through the park.
Oh, how I wish I could. But George is coming soon.
From your voice, I know George is your young man.
Yes, he is.
Are you sure he's coming? Sometimes he... Are you certain?
I'm never certain, but I couldn't leave. Miss Crawley, I'm so glad you're feeling better.
But for Rebecca, I should certainly be in my grave.
Oh, don't say such a terrible thing.
I was very close to the brink, very. But as you say, let us not talk of such ghostly matters. Do you know my nephew, Miss Emmy, Captain Rawdon Crawley?
I've not met him, but Becky has told me all about him.
Have you, Becky?
Oh, I confessed to her how Captain Rawdon wasn't taken with me at all. Remember, Emmy? Oh, Oh, yes.
Do come round to Park Lane and meet him. And bring your young man.
Thank you. I'd be most pleased. But I fear George gets very little leave from His Majesty's service.
Why ever not? Rawdon seems to have all he wants.
I don't know why.
Miss Crawley, I can't let you stay out over long. We really must get on for our drive through the park and home.
And I must get ready for George.
Ah. Max, open the door, please.
Goodbye, Miss Emmy. I'm so glad to have met Becky's friend.
And I to meet Becky's benefactor.
Oh, dear me. Is that what I am?
Of course you are. Emmy, come soon to see us.
I will. I will. And you come to me.
Yes. Max! Drive through the park now.
Yes, miss.
I do like your Emmy, child.
Oh, everyone does. Though she's very shy.
She has natural, graceful manners. A little timidity only sets them off. Oh, dear. It takes Max so long to climb onto the box. He's getting old.
Giddy
up. He used to spring up like a kangaroo. Oh, but then so did I. Time is so cruel. It's why I love young faces round me, pretty faces, like yours, like Miss Emmy's.
Oh, Emmy's uncommon pretty, and far too good for that wretched, selfish, neglectful George.
What?
Oh, my! Oh, there he is, driving his dappled pair.
This very night, Rawdon will be driving his own new carriage and a pair of greys.
How generous you were to buy them for him. Oh, do you think he'd take me for a drive, though I'm nothing to him?
Well, I shall see that he does. In any case, you're on quite good terms now, are you not?
You might say that, yes. Oh, I do hope George is kind to Emmy today. So often he is not.
Not kind to that gentle creature. He ought to be flogged.
Ah, but George has reformed. Has been shopping for Emmy in Fleet Street Jewelry Emporiums. Yes, we shall shortly have the pleasure of seeing what he purchased to make dear Emmy smile.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oceder makes your life easier.
Joey, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, boy, kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with FinalNet. FinalNet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. FinalNet holds up longer than you do.
Delights my sentimental heart that Dobbin provided George with money to buy Emmy a present. You may be sure, whatever gift he has brought, her sentimental heart will burst with joy. When he comes into the room, oh, how her face lights, the little cares, the fears, the tears, the timid misgivings, and sleepless fancies are forgot. She goes fluttering to Lieutenant George Osborne's heart. And his kiss on her forehead is worth a king's ransom.
Oh, my darling, how I've missed you.
And I have missed you most fiercely, dear Emmy.
Have you? Oh, have you?
Well, how can you ask such a thing?
Forgive me for thinking perhaps you hadn't.
I say, could we have tea? Need a spot to warm me. Cold as the Arctic out there.
I've told Hopkins already. It'll be along in... George. What a beautiful diamond search pin. I've never seen it before.
Ain't had it before. Present from my grandmother today.
I didn't know you had a grandmother.
Certainly, everyone has a grandmother. Sometimes two. I say, pet, wanted to bring you a present, wanted to the worst way, but hang it, out of cash.
Oh, dearest, it's enough of a present that you wanted to.
No, not enough. Oh, jolly bad luck. I hadn't a pound to my name, or I'd have bought you a diamond pin, too, to match mine. So I would.
It isn't presents I want, George. It's you.
Tea, Miss Amelia?
Oh, thank you, Hopkins.
Good day, sir.
Hopkins.
Will that be all, miss?
Yes, you may go. I hope you can stay for dinner, my darling.
Oh, can't. Sorry. Important business to transact for Major O'Dowd, then due back at the barracks.
Why do you not have as much leave as Captain Crawley?
What's that?
Well, Becky and his aunt just were here. They said he has all the leave he wants.
That Sharp is a troublemaker. Said it before. She tells you beastly nonsense.
I was sure it wasn't true. Oh, how your diamond pin shines. It's the prettiest ornament I've ever seen.
No, you are the prettiest ornament. Dobbin thinks it too. Quite smitten with you. Afraid he'll take you away from me.
No one, nothing, ever, anywhere could take me away from you.
Except, dear, pretty ornament, except business. Must go now.
Now? So soon? After but one cup of tea?
Most important business, Pet. Can't be put off.
Oh, George.
And off the blackguard goes to transact his important business. To eat ices at a pastry shop in Charing Cross. Try on a new coat and pell-mell. Play 11 games of billiards, of which he wins 8. Oh, what a pity he has won poor, trusting Emmy. Yes, he ought to be flogged. Until tomorrow, dear listeners, I am your devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who's ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333 PA, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models. Vanity Fair is dramatized by Nancy Moore and features Dolores Sutton as Becky Sharp. Catherine Balfour portrays Miss Crawley. And your host for Author Studio is Earl Hammond as William Makepeace Thackeray. Associate producer, Paul Feinstein. This program is produced and directed by Frank Papp and brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. Ralph Camargo speaking. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Table out of the way.
Out of what way?
Bob's bringing the Christmas tree in through the French doors.
Oh, are we putting up the tree tonight?
Well, I hope so, Debbie. Come on, will you give us a hand, dear?
Well, why don't I go up to the attic and bring down all the Christmas stuff?
Why don't you give us a hand with moving the furniture? Daddy will be bringing the tree through those doors in a minute.
Okay.
Now, help me lift the table over to this side, will you please?
Hey, unlock the door! Hey,
oh, unlock the doors. Then, French doors there, Debbie.
It's always exciting putting up the Christmas tree, isn't it?
Well, the idea is exciting. Bob usually makes such a production of sawing off the bottom and getting the tree to stand up properly. We always seem to get a tree that leans.
Come on, please open up.
Oh, well. There.
Ah, what are you all doing? I'm standing out there freezing.
Well, honey, why didn't you put on your storm coat?
Yes, for heaven's sake, you catch your death of pneumonia.
Out of the way.
All right. Can we help you?
No. Hey, did you move the furniture in the living room?
No, not yet. We just finished dinner. Close the doors, Debbie. Close the front door, sir.
Can I go up to the attic now and get the tree trimmings?
Debbie, we probably won't get the tree trimmed tonight anyhow.
Why?
Because it takes your father about 2 hours just to get the tree up. I'm not going to start tree trimming at 9:00.
Well, can I just go up to the attic and bring them down anyway?
Well, I don't think you can find them, dear, and I really don't like you prowling around in the attic. You just throw things every which way, and I spent a week this summer cleaning and straightening up that attic.
Can I just look for them if I don't mess anything up?
Yeah. All right.
Where's the stand?
All right. Where's the what?
The stand. The tree stand.
Debbie, bring down the Christmas tree stand. It should be right at the head of the attic stairs to the left. Did you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Bring that down first before you look for the rest of the thing.
Where are you going to have the tree?
Usually over in the corner by the bay window, Aunt Maggie.
Well, I should think it would look nicer if it were in the bay window.
Well, then it blocks the view, you know. Oh. How are you doing, dear?
I'll have to saw off about 5 inches, I think.
I said the tree was too tall and we got it.
Well, don't take anything off the top.
I'm not taking anything off the top, Aunt Maggie.
My father used to just ruin some of the Christmas trees we had. He'd get a tree that was too big, then he'd just hack off the top and it looked terrible. Well, they'd get so mad at him.
I am not hacking off the top.
Look, let's stand it up and see how tall it is. Here, come on, let me help, dear.
No, I can do it.
Oh,
let me help.
Beautiful tree.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you put some gloves on? You know there's a needle though.
I'm okay. How does it look?
Well, like brushing over the ceiling. It looks much too tall.
I know. I said I'd have to take off about 5 inches off the bottom.
You'll have to take off more than that. Let me hold the tree and you stand back and look.
Okay. You got it?
Yeah. It's heavy. See what I mean?
Yeah. I may have to cut off 2 of those bottom branches.
The bottom branches? You'll just ruin the tree.
Aunt Maggie, if I take off just 5 inches, I won't be able to get the trunk into the tree stand. It has to fit down in.
Will you take the tree? I can't hold it much longer.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, give it here. Now,
Let's go. All right.
Just lay it down.
Shouldn't you put papers down or something? You'll have that pine sap all over the carpet.
No, it'll be all right. Now, where's the saw? I thought I brought it in.
You left it on the buffet in the dining room. I'll get it there.
Now, if you're going to saw, I better put some papers down anyway.
Hey, don't take those. That's tonight's paper, Aunt Maggie. I haven't even read it.
A little sawdust won't hurt it. We can brush it right off.
All right.
All right, here's the saw, dear. Now, don't take too much off.
I can't find the Christmas tree stand.
Oh, where did I tell you it was, Debbie?
I don't know.
At the head of the attic stairs, to the left. Do you see it?
Oh, yeah. Here it is.
Honestly, kids. They never can find anything. They'd be standing so close to something, it'd be bite them, you know?
Is this the corridor you're having the tree in?
Yeah. I'm going to move that little end table, Aunt Maggie, and then we're going to pull off this wingback chair.
Where are you going to put it?
Well, I don't know. I guess we'll have to rearrange the living room, as usual.
Where's the tree stand?
Well, Debbie?
I'm coming. Here it is, Debbie.
Wasn't the stand right there in plain sight at the head of the attic stairs?
Oh, yes.
Where's the ass,
yes. I just didn't see it.
I just didn't see it.
But I can't find the rest of the Christmas thing, so I've looked everywhere.
Well, I'll look for them. Wait till Daddy gets the tree up.
Well, I've got to take off at least one bottom branch.
That will just ruin the tree.
And, Maggie, I have to get the trunk into the tree stand.
Well, it just seems a shame.
Now, why don't you all get the furniture moved out of that corner and let me handle this tree business?
Yes. All right, dear, all right. Don't take too much off now, dear. Dear?
Don't talk too much off.
Dear? Oh, I'm sorry. Come on, Aunt Maggie. Debbie, let's get the corner ready to put the tree up.
Bob has just ruined that beautiful Christmas tree.
Aunt Maggie, now don't say anything. We go through this every year. He always buys a tree too big.
Shouldn't we go in there and help him?
No, at this stage, I leave him alone.
Mom?
Yes,
I went up to the attic again, but I still can't find the tree trimmings.
Debbie, I will look for them. Now, we won't be trimming the tree tonight anyway.
Oh.
I've been shopping all day, and I'm tired. Now, just getting the tree up is enough for one night.
All right.
Yeah?
You want to come in here and see how it looks?
Yes, dear. Come on, Aunt Maggie.
Goodness, what a mess. Pine needles and sawdust all over.
Never mind. Well, you got it up, huh?
Where is he?
He's under the tree.
Oh, yes. I couldn't even see him.
Before I tighten these screws, how does it look?
Crooked.
Yes, it's not straight at all.
I think the tree should be turned more this way.
Which way?
This way.
Which way is this way?
To the left.
I can't see, you know, when I'm lying on the floor.
To the left. No, you're turning the stand to the right, dear.
Well, what do you mean? My left or your left?
This way, counterclockwise. All right, keep turning.
Look out! Tree's gonna fall over.
No, this is all right.
Keep turning. No, that's not good at all.
Hey, what happened to the tree? It was so big. Now it looks short.
Never mind, Debbie.
Now what's the matter?
Nothing, dear. Keep turning because I think you've got the full part in the back. All right. Stop. Let me stand back and look.
It's leaning too much that way. It looks crooked.
And Maggie's right, dear. It's leaning too much that way.
What way?
That way. Up toward the fireplace.
Yeah.
Can you straighten it a little bit?
Just a second. How's that?
No, still leaning. I think it looks better from this side. There's such a hole there where he cut off that other bottom branch.
All right. I don't think so. Dear, turn it back the other way.
What other way?
Clockwise. The branches look better on the bottom at this side. Turn it slowly. A little more.
Now, wait a minute.
A little more.
Now, you hang on to it.
Yeah.
Let me crawl out and take a look myself. Yeah, you got hold of it?
Yeah, just a second. Oh, these pine needles are sharp. All right, crawl up, Mother. Get up. I got it.
Well, maybe you didn't saw it off evenly at the bottom.
Yes, Aunt Maggie, I sawed it off evenly at the bottom. It's the tree that's crooked. The trunk isn't straight. Okay, now, let's turn it back this way. Aunt Maggie, you stand back and look and tell us when it looks straight. Okay, turn.
All right.
No.
Look, we've practically turned it all the way around.
Well, it is still crooked. It leans way over that way.
Now, wait a minute. Let me put something in between the stand and the tree. Hand me that little branch over there, Aunt Maggie, by the couch on the floor. Yeah.
You know, you really should have changed your clothes instead of crawling all over the floor in your good suit.
Well, you all wanted the tree put up. Do it now.
Hold on. There. I think it's all right. Now, come and look, Peg.
Go and look.
Fine. Tighten the bolts. That's perfect.
Okay. Well, I tell you, all this certainly dampens my Christmas spirit.
I think it's fine now, dear.
Okay, Mom, will you go up to the attic now and find the trimming?
Oh, Debbie, one would think you were 6 instead of 16. Yes, I'll go look in a minute.
There. How does it look?
Well, get up and see for yourself, dear.
Well, I certainly see what you mean when you say just putting up the Christmas tree is a big production.
It looks beautiful, huh?
It's a nice bunch. Now let's get the room picked up. Debbie, get the vacuum, will you, dear?
Oh, why don't we save the branches he cut off for the mantelpiece?
Yes, that will be pretty. Dear, do you want to put your saw
on? Oh, my God, what's the matter?
What's the matter?
Get the lid! Didn't you tighten the tree stand?
I didn't put the final twist on. I wanted to see how it looked.
Aren't we going to decorate the tree tonight?
Debbie!
I wish I were little again. Christmas is more fun then.
Debbie, we all wish we were little again when Christmas was more fun. Now, get the vacuum for your mother and start cleaning up.
Lift the tree up just so I can find the broken lamp.
Save the pieces, dear. Maybe we can glue them together.
Oh, I hope so. We'll decorate tomorrow, Debbie, not
tonight. This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
The The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Dr. Carter. Oh, yes, yes, I am expecting Dr. Anthony. Send him right in, please. I wonder if Helen knows he's here. Paul, come in, come in.
Hey, this is the big time, fella. Jason, this is great.
That's good to see you, fella. I'm glad you could get away.
Yeah, so am I. After 6 weeks of disaster duty, I needed a little R&R.
Yeah. How are things at Brixton?
Well, right now, it's mobile homes as far as the eye can see. We won't be rebuilding until the spring.
Tell me, did they ever pin down the cause for the explosion?
A leaky valve in the first tank car and sparks from the train wheel. They guess.
Well, that's probably all they can do, guess.
How's Jennifer? Emily?
Oh, you know about Jen?
Yeah, Helen told me on the phone. God, you're lucky to have her.
Yes, it was a very close call, Paul.
Helen said Jennifer was submerged for 45 minutes and in cold water. Is there any brain damage, Jason?
We don't think so. The cold water chilled her so rapidly that her brain didn't need as much oxygen.
And Emily, how is she?
The same, Paul.
What did Szabo say?
Well, he hasn't finished checking everything yet.
Oh?
Yeah, yeah, it's a long process. Say, does Helen know you're here?
No, I thought I'd surprise her.
Well, Helen, I appreciate your concern, but there isn't much I can tell you about Emily.
Oh, I realize that, Marsh. It's just that I wanted to repay Emily and Jason for their kindness in putting me up when I came to Chicago. And I wanted to be helpful.
Oh, of course, of course. But won't you be going back to Brixton soon? I mean, the holidays are almost here.
I haven't decided yet.
Well, those burn cases don't need you now, Helen. We can handle them.
Since you can't tell me what's the matter with Emily, of course, can you tell me if there's anything I can do as a friend? Any nursing care, for instance?
Well, I doubt it very much. You know, Emily's sister Angela is a nurse, and if anything like that is required,
Yes, of course. I should have thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else I can help you with?
No, thank you. I was just trying to see if I could be helpful. Maybe I can find a way.
That was a strange conversation. More like a fishing expedition. Jason has got to tell Emily how ill she is. The longer this goes on, the harder it gets to keep it quiet.
That's all set up, Paul. Dinner at the pump room. I'm glad for a good excuse to make Emily go out.
All right, then. I'll try not to embarrass you.
Say, do you remember that time we went to Tokyo and tried to check in at that posh hotel?
Do I remember? It was for officers only.
Yeah, well, could we help it if we didn't look like officers? Oh, excuse me. Come in.
Paul, where did you come from?
Where you last saw me, honey. Old Jason called me and insisted I come to Chicago for another reunion. We're going to keep doing it until we get it right.
He called you?
Sure thing. And we're going out on the town tonight.
Oh? All of us?
You deserve a treat. Jason tells me you've done great work here.
I see.
I'd better check on something somewhere. I'll see you later.
Oh, honey, I missed you.
How is everyone?
Better. But then every way was up.
Yes, it was.
Jason says you're finished here and the emergency is over now.
Yes, I guess it is.
We'll have a great Christmas, Helen.
Among the ruins, Paul.
Oh, you'd be surprised what they've accomplished there. It takes a disaster to bring out the best in people.
Hmm. I wonder if that's really true.
Well, there was looting during a disaster, but most of the people help each other out in ways that they never did when everything was all right.
Okay, darling. If you believe it, I believe it.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Jason, how long do you think you can keep it from her?
Marsh, I've got to do it. Just until Christmas.
Well, I understand, but I don't see how you can do it.
It's one day at a time, Marsh.
Well, Emily has to start to wonder why we haven't heard from Szabo yet.
Yes, it's come up a few times. Angela's been asking questions, too.
Look, now wait a minute. Now that Jennifer's out of danger, and as things get back to normal,
Marsh,
Emily
is... Marsh, I told Joe we wanted to take Jen home tomorrow.
What? Isn't she going to be checked out by Ellis?
Well, I thought we'd bring her back for the neuro test next week after the holidays.
Oh. Any reason for that?
Yes. Yes, it's a stalling tactic.
Oh.
If we get Jen home, Emily's going to be occupied totally with her there. If we stay here now that Jen's so much better, and with Emily spending time with her here at the hospital, well, you can see she's more likely to start asking questions.
Jason, so you're using Jen as busy work for Emily. God, Jason.
What can I do? If you hadn't committed yourself to telling Emily about the diagnosis, I wouldn't have had to go through this.
Now, wait a minute. This is what she wanted. She has a right to ask it of me.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What are we fighting about?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jason. I know there isn't any easy way to do it.
Okay.
Has she been showing any more symptoms lately?
No.
Good. That's a help. Well, if something starts up, let me know.
And just what do you think you can do, Marsh? Are you expecting to find a cure for a brain tumor in the next week?
Oh, it's going to be hard to get back to Brixton after all this.
Oh, Paul, can't you stay longer? He just got here.
Emily, you've tempted me. My clinic's loaded. Coming up here is really playing hooky.
And Jason must have been very convincing to get you to come.
He was. Say, Jason, since you haven't succeeded in catching the waiter's eye yet, I'm going to try out the dance floor with Emily. Okay, Em?
Oh, of course, this is a celebration.
Honey, let him lead.
Oh, Jason.
Hmm?
Why did you call Paul?
Well, Helen, we talked about all of us celebrating, and I thought the time had come for it.
It wasn't that you were anxious to hustle me off to Brixton.
Helen, don't you think you've been here long enough? You are married to Paul.
I knew you before I knew Paul.
Now, what the hell kind of a game are you playing, Helen?
I'm not playing a game. I'm thinking about my life, the rest of my life. I'm not sure I want to spend it in Brixton.
All right, that's your privilege, but don't involve me in it.
You involved yourself when you called Paul.
I'm his friend.
And it's a friend's duty to interfere?
Helen, I wouldn't want to see Paul shafted.
Oh, what do you know about it? You're up here in the big city. He's in a little backwater town, living his life out worrying whether the clinic's going to work.
I thought he was happy at Brixton.
You didn't see anything. With you, it was like the good old days in Korea.
But you said it was that way, too.
I was trying to make it be that way. And the way it was between you and me, Jason.
just about what I expected, Emily.
Oh, come on, Paul. I doubt if Jason spent much time describing me.
He didn't have to. It was all in his face when he was talking to you on the phone.
I certainly missed him. You must have missed Helen these past weeks.
Oh, sure. But I think it was good for her to get away for a while. She's been working too hard. What's the matter?
Oh,
are you all right?
Paul.
Here.
No. I mean, could we go back to the table, please?
What's the matter?
My legs are... Oh.
Come on.
No, wait a minute. It's going away now.
Sure?
Yes.
What was it?
It's just some little shooting pains, I guess.
It's much more than that, isn't it?
No, come on. Let's finish the dance.
Don't you want us to dance?
Paul, I don't want Jason to know.
What the devil do you mean?
I know what I'm doing, Paul. It'll be all right.
What do you say?
Oh, listen, I don't want Jason to worry. I don't want to spoil this Christmas. Please, Paul, it's important for us all.
Hi, I've only got a minute. My job here at home requires my full attention. I just wanted to say a few words about hair coloring. My little girl has beautiful chestnut hair, like I used to. And it made me very conscious every time I brushed her hair of the gray that had been sneaking into mine the last year or so. I'd thought about hair coloring, but using peroxide or changing my natural color turned me off. Then one day I heard about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How it had no peroxide and came in 15 shades, one just like my own. I said, okay, I'll try it. Sure enough, Loving Care covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it made my hair softer and shinier, too. And some days, it's just such a comfort to peek in the mirror and see a woman who looks pretty terrific, considering her immediate surroundings.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.